I'm really glad you're here today. I always look forward to coming to church. I even think logistically, I don't think even if we wanted to, could we see everybody in our church throughout the week. But every week, Sunday, we get together, and it's just fun to see you all. And I'm also very encouraged about the subject matter that we have here today about relationships. And as I mentioned, you know, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter 3, specifically 1 Peter 3, verse 7. But I understand that not everybody is married, but we need to be living and working in our relationships in an understanding way. The foundation of God's relationship to man and women, as well as the foundation of the family, are clearly seen in Genesis 1 through 3. And unfortunately, they are under attack today as like never before. God, as creator and moral lawgiver, it's He who has the right or the authority to establish what defines marriage, the participants of marriage, as well as the outworking of that marriage. If Satan can attack marriage, as we'll see here maybe a little later on in Ephesians 5, if he can attack the marriage, Paul says marriage is a very visible analogy of Christ in the church. So if he can attack the marriage, he is directly or indirectly, depending upon how you want to look at it, attacking then the church as well. The husband's role. The husband's role. If we were, and I do this doing premarital counseling, one of my homework assignments as we get ready for the role of the husband is I say, I want you to go out and I want you to ask 7 people what the role of the husband is, and I only want you to ask a couple from the family, a couple from your workplace, a couple maybe from your neighbors, a couple of your friends, just what is the role of the family. And the responses for a husband's role in a family is broad. Some of it's funny. Some of it you almost have to laugh because otherwise it is horrifically sad. Our culture is basically, again, I'm a little older, maybe out of touch with the 2015 generation culture, but he's basically the breadwinner. He's the one who earns the living. I do know this is still all too well, though. He's the one who works hard all day long, so when he comes home, he needs time to unwind and relax. And wives, don't you wish that would be nice? We could just somehow put the babies and the children on hold and put the supper on hold and just put everything on hold so that when the wives come home, we also can just have time to relax and unwind. Basically, what he does, the father, is he just gets out of the wife's way as she basically raises the children and then leads the home. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about relationships, marriage specifically. We're going to kind of point towards your head. We're going to aim some of this material at your heart, and we're also going to step on a few toes. But here's why this is so important. If we want God to use us in a more effective way, we got to have strong relationships. I don't care if you're married or not. We have to have strong relationships in this church. We have to have strong marriages, and we also have to have strong homes. If we don't have strong relationships, we don't have strong marriages, and we don't have strong homes, how in the world are we going to have a strong church? Because guess who makes up the church? Us. Us. So it's very important that we spend the next few weeks working through this. What is a strong church? A strong church where problems are biblically resolved in opposed to other ways. A strong church and a strong family is where Jesus Christ is the center of attention. It's not dance-centric. We continue to think, what would Jesus Christ want me to do? Well, how would he want me to respond? How would he want me to treat it? How would he want me to go about resolving this? And then ultimately, the goal in life is to be pleasing God by being like Jesus Christ. So that's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether we eat or drink, or how we resolve conflicts, or how we act as soon as we come home from work, or how we deal with the children, we're going to do it all to the glory of God. Now, ladies, I hope you're praying that your husband's going to get this. and improve in his fulfilling his responsibility. But remember, make his role easy, wives. Make his role enjoyable. Compliment him. Help him become the individual that God wants him to be, rather than making it hard and discouraging. And then just lastly, and then we'll get into this, and that is that progressive sanctification, and you've heard me say that here in the church, is probably one of the most frustrating things in our church, because no one's ever the same. We're all on different growth levels, and that's the same thing with in relationships. I wish that all of our relationships were exactly the same, but we're not. And the same thing with your husband. I bet you wish that you were on the same relationship within your marriage, but again, that's not the case either. And sometimes you have growing spurts, and sometimes he's kind of flat, and then sometimes he has a growing spurt, and you're flat. So just understand that this is going to be a little frustrating. Let's first of all begin with a video. The world says, is it impossible to understand a woman? All right, let's watch that video.
Hello, everybody. That was a bit odd. I'm in one of those moods. Now, a few of the guys out there have asked me, Alana, how do I understand women? It really is the mystery of life. Now, I will let you in on a few things, but you have to understand, women are complicated, and you're going to have to accept the fact that you're probably not going to understand them fully. If I'm going to be honest, women don't even understand themselves fully. We cry because we cry. We get angry.
Because we can.
Oh man, that was scary. So go get your pen and your notepad and write this stuff down. What accent am I doing? So the number one thing a woman needs is a good listener. Write down good listener. Women hate it when they're talking away and they get a response like this.
Huh? Yes? What?
It goes from this.
This.
I'm not really sure why. We just like people to listen. Now, another thing you might have picked up on is that women get jealous of everything. Let's say, for example, you hang out with your other mates. She'll get jealous of how much time you're spending with them. Let's say you hang out with other girls. She'll probably just kill you. Now, women are very sensitive. Write down sensitive. Now, a lot of women don't want to admit that, but they are.
It's how we're built.
We need to feel loved at all times. Women want to feel appreciated, write that down, and wanted. If you don't show those things, women can get pretty upset.
So I kind of wonder, is it really all that hard to understand? At least from her perspective. So, you know, I was doing some research, and I was digging through some of my files because we've done a lot of premarital and marriage counseling, and I've been able to tabulate three things that men have really basically understood about women for about the last 30-some years of ministry, and I have it right here for you. That's about right. Hopefully, we'll have a little better understanding as we move on here. So 1 Peter 3, let's read the first 7 verses. 1 Peter 3 says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives." By the way, I think the opposite could also be true. I think if there's a relationship where the wife is having some struggles spiritually and she's not obeying the word, I don't think that you men should go in there and beat her up with words. But rather, without a word, you could win her over by your conduct. Verse 2, "When they be observed, your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with a incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The first role of a husband is to learn about his wife. Now, this learning is a command. It's not an encouragement. It's not a suggestion. Men, you must learn about your wife. Now, again, because I know not everyone here is married, but again, I'm hoping you're making the translation or the application to relationships, whether some of your friends at work or some of your peers at work or whatever the situation is, you have that same responsibility to understand those who are living around you. So, the learning is a command. It's a choice that a man has to make to obey or to disobey. It is an act of the will. It is an act of the will. Now, from the worldly perspective, we have here that men cannot understand women. They're too complicated. They're too emotional. As she says, women cry. Why? Well, because they cry. I don't know. There are a few things that she did say that we're going to talk about, such as listening. Now, you and I, even though the world says it's impossible to understand a woman, is that biblically correct? Does God give us an impossible task? No. No, He doesn't. And we also have His help. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then again, as we went through Ephesians 3:20 months ago, and everyone's thinking, hoo-hoo, that's money. You know, now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, hoo-hoo, lots of money. No. Man, you can understand your wives, and you can do it exceedingly abundantly than you ever could have thought of possible, according to the riches that is in you. So we must understand, and again, not every woman, because as we look there at 1 Peter 3:7, it says you are to husbands. The only woman we really have to understand is our wife. Now, if you have a woman boss, that might help a little bit as well. But we're primarily just looking at here the marriage relationship, and it is a command that you can do it, and you must do it, and it's just your wife. Because again, remember what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? There is no wife who needs understanding except what is common to every relationship. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be married to a woman that you cannot understand. But God is faithful. And again, that's kind of a little bit of a translation there on my part, but you get it. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be in a relationship that you cannot understand, but will with your wife give you understanding so that you can happily live with her. And again, that's the Scogan's translation of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Number one here then, this is going to take time. Time. In our culture, though, many men in our areas just say, I'm too busy to talk about or talk with my wife. And I understand that there are conversational differences with husbands and wives. Wives, as you know, speak how many words? Well, how many more words than men? And even their conversations are different, but we need to take the time to study our wives. Let me just give you an example. Here's some of the conversational differences between men and women. This is about two women talking about their hair. And the first woman says, oh, you got a haircut. It's so cute. Do you think so? I wasn't sure when she gave me the mirror. I mean, you don't think it's too fluffy looking, do you? Oh, no, it's perfect. I'd love to get my hair cut like that, but I think my face is too wide, and I'm pretty much stuck with this stuff that I got. Oh, are you serious? I think your face is adorable. And you could easily get one of those layer cuts. I think it would look so cute. Actually, I was going to do it, but I was afraid it'd accentuate my long neck. Oh, that's funny. I'd love to have your neck. Anything to take away from this 2x4 shoulder line that I have. Are you kidding? I mean, I know girls who would love to have shoulders like you. Everything drapes so well. I mean, look at my arms. They're so short. If I had shoulders like you, I could get clothes that would fit me so much easier. Now, guys, this is how guys communicate. Haircut? Yep. It's going to take time. We're going to have to expand our vocabulary just a little bit to try to get to understand them. You know, we do spend a lot of time on other stuff, guys, don't we? How many of you guys, and I'll use it in a very easy way because I do want you to come back next week, but how many of you guys have heard of fantasy football? Some of you have heard of fantasy football. If I understand fantasy football, one person could spend a lot of time, and in some cases, money, a lot of time on their fantasy football team. And this fall, not only are they watching the games, but they're watching their fantasy football teams. And a lot of time is given. And I kind of wonder if, as the girl says, they're jealous. And maybe not be jealous of other guys or other girls, but you're spending how much time doing these role-playing games? You're spending how much time rescuing the princess and going to the next level? You're spending how much time? I think that if I brought maybe one of my shotguns to church and gave some shells to the wives, they would love. Ah, there goes that Sony. Bam, there goes that Xbox. Boy, we're going to have a much better relationship now. Because there's just so much time spent in other things other than our wives. I mean, we got football coming up now. And even our culture talks about football widows. As all the guys get all their things together to watch the game. But we don't spend the time needed to learn about our wives. We've got hobbies. We've got businesses. Sometimes, and I even heard this from somebody in our church referring to another family outside our church. They've never been here, but spent all the time building up the business and building up the business and building up the business. And now that the business is basically able to run on its own, now the wife says, I'm done. So what a horrible thing. Give your life to get the business up and get the business up. And she's been by herself all these years. And now she says, I'm done. I'm leaving. So guys, we're going to have to take the time that it's going to take. And we're going to have to get beyond just haircut. Yeah. But we're going to have to. And you heard her on the thing about listening. Huh? Yeah. Guess so. I'm sorry. Yes, dear. Boy, that was great. You got to get rid of those cliche answers. It's going to take some study. It's going to take a purposeful commitment to make progress in various areas of our life. You know, her problems are your problems. Because as we read there a little bit of 1 Peter 3:7, the bottom of it says, in order that your prayers are not hindered. You know, the flesh, the marriage says, for this cause they shall join unto their one another and they shall become one flesh. In a marriage relationship, it is a little different than our co-peers. It's a little different than our neighbors. I do know of some of our neighbors' problems just because, you know, we live in a smaller community and you can hear various things. But in essence, those problems are not my problems. But my wife's problems are my problems because we are in a marriage relationship. Here, let me put it to you this way. Here's a guy, he wrote a commentary back in 1905, and he says it this way with about dwelling them with an understanding way. He says, we may grasp this verse's context by proclaiming the opposite. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to ignorance. Just walk in blindness. Don't look beyond your own desires. Let your vision be entirely introspective and microscopic. Never exercise your eyes in a clear and comprehensive outlook. Dwell in ignorance. And I kind of wonder, as I was reading this quote, if this doesn't say, I could quote that. That's my husband. He doesn't even try to understand what I'm going through. And I can tell you from 34 years of marriage that Robin has evolved and come up with circumstances over the years. When we didn't have children, I understood Robin in one way. Then when we had little infants and little toddlers, I need to understand her in another way. And then when our little boy went off to kindergarten, I needed to understand her in another way. Any of you here got children or grandchildren going off for the first time to kindergarten? Couple. You need to understand mom in a whole other way now, as some of you ladies remember just that whole process of the babies are getting older and leaving the house. Okay, but now jumping fast forward, now I can understand her as she's getting ready for school. There's just a whole different way I've got to be treating her than, say, 3 months ago when school was getting out. So, men, this is just going to take continual study. We're going to have to spend time. And again, this is just, again, where sometimes we're just not getting it, guys. You know, Robin and I, we've spent a lot of time together here the last couple days. And let's just say we were in the car and we had the music playing and we're sitting side by side in the car and running all these errands, and we're just spending a lot of time in the car together. And then Robin gets, you know, out of church today, and let's just say, for example, she says, "You know, Dan, I can't wait for this afternoon because I just want to spend some time with you." What do you mean? We've been sitting in the car for hours as we've been driving around doing, but that's not the same. See, for me, there wasn't a lot of dialogue going down, you know, the top's down, the wind's whistling, the radio's on, and we're driving, we're looking at the scenery. That's not what she wants. Ladies, what does she want? Let's sit down and we can talk. But honey, we spent hours in the car together running around enjoying the beautiful weather. Yeah. But I want to get together today where we can sit down and just talk. Okay. What we have to do, though, is we have to love with her, or we have to live with her in an understanding way. And here's the sad thing about it is, and this is where the male ego comes in, because, hey, honey, let's go for a drive. The weather's gorgeous, and I turn on my radio station, or I turn my phone on and get my playlist going, and I got the top down, and I'm loving it, and she maybe would think, you know, I could be working on some scheduling or classes or something and trying to organize the class schedule and get all the kids involved there. But she lovingly gets in the car and rides with me, and now this afternoon when she says, "Okay, Dan, we want to sit down so we can talk," I act like a baby. I don't give her the same grace and enjoyment that she gives me sitting in the car. And why is that? If she so lovingly is willing to give up her schoolwork and trying to get the Twilight program organized to sit in the car with me, look at trees or whatever, I should be willing to go sit on the back patio this afternoon and talk. But why do we not do that, guys? And we'll discuss it here in just a little bit. One more thing here that I wanted to comment on, and that is that it says there in 1 Peter 3:7, as the weaker vessel. Let me give you just a couple of ideas that ways that she may be weaker. One would be weaker with authority. Where am I going with this? How about this? The wife may be considered weak because of her role as the wife. She, by marrying you, has accepted a position where she submits herself to the husband. Such a position is vulnerable, and the husband is commanded not to take advantage of the woman's vows of submission. And we've heard this all too many times, although I haven't heard it lately. But oftentimes I would hear something like this, and they would take God's name in vain, and they'd say, "Bless the Lord." And then they say, "I am the head of this house." I am the king of this castle, and you will, or you will not, and then they go on their little diatribe. So we have to be careful that she willingly, probably without full knowledge, for worse, acknowledged that she would take a position in submission to you. So living with your wife in an understanding way means you're willing to recognize what it is like to be in submission to imperfect authority. It's so ironic. Let me give an example. We go to work, and the boss is an imperfect authority, and the boss is on one of his rabbit trails or hobby horses, or he's got one of those days going on, and he's just jumping on us and jumping on us and jumping on us, and we have to put up with it because we are being paid and we're under the authority of that. So then we guys come home, and for whatever reason, that which we have hated, now we become, and then we walk in the door and we say, how come this living room's a mess? How come the kids' toys are spread all over? How come the laundry's not done yet? And how come supper's not ready? And she said, because I worked 12 hours today and I just got home 15 minutes before you. Well, that's no excuse, and on and on and on it goes. One way, though, that a wife could be weaker is in the area of submission. And then one other area, which is, again, a blessing, and that could maybe be weaker emotionally. Women are typically more sensitive emotionally than with men, and that is a good thing. Me, again, just for me as an example, coming from Sweden and Norway, both of my grandparents, I have ice going through my veins. I'm just your stoic Scandinavian. Eric is born. Sweet. That's good. Stephanie born. Okay. Sweet. That's good. It's kind of like guys. Baby born. Yep. Boy. Have a cigar. Not figuratively speaking. Girls, on the other hand. But the beautiful thing is that God has allowed me to bring her down a little bit and balanced her out, and she's kind of given me a little bit of more joy in my life. So we can't view that as a negative, but rather as a thing that we can use to strengthen our weakness. We're going to have to stop here because I want to talk about honoring a little bit more in detail next week. And I won't maybe have as many funnies, and we can get a little bit further into this. But the wife is to honor her husband, and we'll pick that up a little bit here now next week. All right, so what are some of the takeaways? First of all, husbands, we are to dwell with our wives in an understanding way. It's going to take time. Okay, so just pause just for a second. And those of you that are in other relationships, this past week, how much time did you spend getting to know one another? I mean, we could even make it to the church. Those of you that sit on this side of the church, have you spent any time recently trying to get to know these people who sit on this side of the church? And those of you that are on this side of the church, have you spent any time lately trying to get to know those who sit on that side of the church? See, this is where it's not just about marriages. If Oxford Valley Chapel is going to be a strong church, we need to have strong relationships, which means we have to know who's sitting on the other side of the church with us. It's going to take time, and it's going to take study. It's going to take time. It's going to take study. Now, husbands, though, how much time would you say in a given week you spend considering your wife? How much better do you know her, let's say, as we're nearing the end of the month and say the beginning of the month? When was the last time, guys, you sat down and had a talk? Because I used to do it too, and sometimes I still do. We've got a check-off list. How's the bills? How's the mortgage? How's the checkbook? You know, do we have any grocery shopping? How are the kids? How are the grades? Good. See you later. No. You got to sit down, take our deep breaths, and talk. Then we're going to talk about honoring them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. All right, let's pray.